never mind the weather. We'll be dancing in the street until the morning light. Cause there's music in the air and lots of love and everywhere. So give me the night.
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here in Hawaii. We are going to be talking about the affordable housing sale that the city is proposing. And just right off the top, I have Miss Jane Pasquale, who is a tenant there and citizen of Honolulu, resident at the Chinatown Gateway Plaza. And then I have former council member, state senator, state representative, Mr. Rod Tam. And we're going to be, again, talking about the affordable housing. And for those of you that probably been tuning in, this is a third time that Jane has been with me, and so that suggests you hopingly that we got something new to talk about. Well, keep in mind the city and all entities have been very secretive about this. I would describe it as one mystery as another mystery unfolds here, and we can't get answers. I did in fact send a letter with questions to the mayor and to HUD regarding the sale. And as usual, you know, I don't rise to the level of the occasion as a citizen, so I'm not worthy of a response. So therefore, that just suggests to me, though I have the freedom of speech, I also have the freedom to speak. And so what you'll hear today, I'll draw some conclusions, express my opinions based on the limited information that I've gone out and gathered myself. So if you have any information out there you want to share with us, please call in. We won't be offended. We're just trying to get some transparency, which we don't. And there's some very interesting things, and I'll describe it as interesting, shenanigans being pulled. And I have documents that show that, but I leave that judgment up to you, the listener. And if you share the same opinion or don't, please call 524-1080. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
All righty. So, Jane, you know that give a little background real quick.
Okay.
Introduce yourself.
The background is I'm a tenant at Chinatown Gateway Plaza. Chinatown Gateway Plaza is one of 12 buildings that are being sold by the city to a company. The acronym is HAPI. It stands for, help me out here, Carol, what does it stand for?
Well, Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners, that's one.
Okay.
Or so, Highlands.
Okay. So I am a former journalist, but I have to say the level of journalism that Carol Cox has displayed here is beyond whatever I did. And I have to say that I'm really impressed because Carol's been able to obtain some documents that I find very shocking. So is that enough history as far
that's good.
As far as the buildings being sold?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tam introduced the original resolution to sell these affordable housing buildings, right, Mr. Tam?
Yes. You sell the buildings, but the city would own the land so that you would maintain affordable rental housing.
Okay. You know what? Why don't you use this microphone because it, you don't
don't seem to be coming through.
Okay.
So use this one. What was your answer?
I'm sorry. We have a technical problem here, technology. What it is, as a city councilman back in 2000s, and especially in 2008, I introduced a resolution. And this resolution was to preserve mm-hmm. affordable rental housing, mm-hmm. which the city and county of Honolulu owned down in the Chinatown area, mm-hmm. The 12 units.
So the resolution was basically to preserve affordable housing.
Yes, and we would do that on the basis that the city would still own the land,
mm-hmm.
but sell the buildings itself. It's almost like, for example, Alamoana Shopping Center.
Who?
Alamoana Shopping Center.
Oh, okay,
right?
Okay.
The Alamoana Shopping Center, they have a growth ownership, property ownership company. And what they do is they rent out the space or lease out the space.
Right.
On the square footage and also on the sales. And,
mm-hmm.
But they mandate in terms of every so many years the store has to renovate.
Mm-hmm.
So almost like a similar situation, we the city would mandate that the preservation of affordable rental housing.
And also, what about the income structure there? Was that supposed to be preserved as well, the mixed income? Because the way it is currently laid out at where I live, at Chinatown Gateway Plaza, there is low income, middle income, which is also referred to as gap income, and then there's the market price units. Is that intended with your resolution? Were you intending to keep that mixed income, that type of climate in the building?
Yes, but we really want to specify specifically and concretely that we had to maintain the same number of affordable mm-hmm. rental housing units.
And
even if so, we wanted to even increase it in the future.
Great. And you know what? I'm really glad you pointed that out, because that is the basis of my frustration, my anger, and why I'm here today. Because if that was the original intent with your resolution to create and keep affordable housing, then that is not what's happening if this sale closes. Because what they're proposing to do is to raise the rents of every single tenant by 10% every year for the next 10 years for the low income and moderate income. And for the market unit people, their rents will be raised 10% for the next 5 years. I don't know about you, but you don't have to be a genius. No one has to be a genius to figure that out. That is not affordable.
Let me say this specifically. One of the requirements in the resolution mm-hmm. to the buyer was for a long-term permanent affordable plan.
Thank you.
Okay. And also, too, in terms of the management, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's expected that the management would communicate with the tenants.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the city also had an obligation, the city administration,
mm-hmm.
before anybody was chosen mm-hmm. as the buyer for the buildings, they would have to communicate with the tenants.
Correct. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're saying all of this, because all of those three things you just said, to keep it affordable, for the city to communicate with the residents, and for the residents to be part of the selection process, none of those criteria were followed in this particular sale. Mm-hmm. And that is also what makes me angry about this, because it seems like the residents, the people who actually have to live out whatever result from this sale, those residents are the ones that have to live with the decisions. Not only that, the city and the presumed buyers are balancing this sale on the backs of the people who live there. Most of them can't even afford what they're paying now. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that really I'm incensed about all that.
Let me say this on a basis of what you said.
Okay.
And The responsibility of government is to work for the people.
Thank you. We put you guys
and
in office.
And to have public hearings.
Yes, thank you.
Affording you the opportunity.
Thank you.
And the city council has failed also, too, besides the city administration in doing that.
I'm really glad you said that, Mr. Tam. As a former council member, I'm sure it's not easy for you to say something like that.
That's why I get into trouble all the time. Can I tell it like it is? How government is supposed to behave.
So before I go any further here, I want to thank Scott Foster of Advocates for Consumer Rights, who's been helping and looking and backing and getting this out, the word out.
Thank you, Scott.
This is, I find, the most peculiar. I feel hopeless in the sense that what is really going on, one development after another, and we're not being told the truth. As a taxpayer,
right,
as a citizen, mm-hmm, as a watchdog, I don't even know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many moving parts.
Right, and it seems to be moving forward. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we got a number of calls here.
Okay.
I'm going to take a minute and
yes,
just...
please.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yes, so the city has not raised rents for a long time on these buildings, and that's why many of them have fallen into disrepair. And no matter who was the buyer, the rents would have to go up. And that's clear in the request for proposal that the city sent out to prospective buyers, that they were able to raise the rents.
And who are you?
My name is Catherine Graham.
Well, good for you, Catherine. Thank you for calling in. That's good, and that is all known, the tenants and even myself with the limited information available.
Right. You know, but
yes,
Jane was saying that was one of the things that she was so irate about, was that the rents would be going up.
No, that is not what I said, Catherine. What I said is there was no communication between the city and the residents. I understand rents have to go up. I do. And I am not opposed to paying more rent. I just don't think it's feasible for the rents to go up 10% per year for the next 10 years. That is ridiculous and unaffordable for anybody, including yourself, if you lived in that building. So please don't put words in my mouth. That is not what I said.
Okay, the RFP states that that's okay. So, I mean, that was out, that was public information at the time that the request for proposal went out. That was what was told to all of the buyers across the board that they were able to do. And this particular buyer has stated... Pardon me?
I'm not disputing that...
Okay. And there was a tenant from your building that was on the committee that chose this buyer.
She was not a resident, okay? She was there as a resident before, but during the selection process, she was not a resident. Do not feed me that, because that is BS, Catherine, and you know it.
No, my understanding was she moved out afterwards.
No, she moved out before the selection process. I know that for a fact.
Okay, well, that's not my understanding, so I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, because I understood that she was chosen as a resident, you know, and that so there was some representation of the residents. The other thing that's interesting to me is that it's only one of the buildings out of 12 that is really disputing this sale.
That is not correct.
Because I have friends who are residents in the other buildings.
Catherine,
yes.
Hold on. When you say things like that, I would like to know if you have a formal survey, or if you're saying you have friends, it's based on that.
Okay, well, I can tell you that there are three people that I know in other buildings that are representatives of the residents of those buildings.
Well, I've spoken to
you know, who are not disputing this sale as it is.
Because they don't understand it, Catherine. That's why they're not disputing it.
But that's funny.
You know, we don't know that, Jane.
Catherine, I think if the tone of your voice and what you're trying to deliver and express, clearly you have some closer affiliation with the administration of something.
The administration. I don't really have any affiliation with the administration, but I have been involved in this process.
You're welcome to talk.
Actually, you're a member of FACE, are you not?
I'm a member of FACE.
And didn't you work for, didn't you work with June Yang?
When he was with FACE, not when he was with the administration.
And that's the reason why you're in favor of the sale, is it not? Hello? I asked you a question. Is it not?
Well, Catherine, are you there? Okay. Anyway, thanks for calling. For those of you that are going to call, please feel free to call in, but let's not try to just be in general terms. We're looking for specifics. On that note, we don't know much about, and we don't know much about the sale. Has the sale been finalized, Rod? Have you read anything that the sale is final?
No, it's not final. And basically, it should be an open door.
Right, but Jane, have you heard that if the sale is finalized?
The last I heard was that the city was going to fund the sale. It would be seller financing, mm-hmm. and they have delayed the deadline up until March 31st. Now, to me, that is the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
If the buyer has had a year and a half to obtain financing, and they have not, through the private sector or any of the banks or, you know, the normal way of getting financing. Obviously, they were not able to get financing for the last year and a half. So now the city steps in and says, we will do, quote, anything, quote, anything, close quotes, to continue this sale. Why would the city continue to do anything to close this sale, especially fund this sale, if there are so many questions about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I may add, you know, here's the resolution that said that any prospective buyer must have the financing mm-hmm. to buy.
That's the resolution.
Right.
That the city council voted and passed.
Right, back in 2008.
And what resolution is that? What is that number?
108.
And that was introduced by you, Mr. Tim.
Yes, and signed by the other colleagues.
Again, I didn't hear the... What is the exact the number?
Resolution 108 okay. in the year 2008.
Okay.
So the number is 08108.
Right. So here's what, you know, through my diggings, and the reason I ask, has this deal been finalized? I'm just going to tell you that if you put any trust in this sale, then you've relinquished all ownership, everything that's sensible, to a government that is out of control. Period. That's my statement, and I stand with that. But let me just share with you, and I've shared with the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
If the sale is not complete, and there's this haggling over, they can't afford to buy, they can't get financing, and we're going to have to loan them the money or give them the money, whatever the definition is, why on earth would the city allow this company, and I've recovered documents from the city's website, where the applicant is M5 Architecture,
mm-hmm.
who, and it states that the owner of the building,
mm-hmm.
and this is, we're talking about the Chinatown Gateway Plaza,
mm-hmm.
the owner of the building on the permit application is Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners. It goes on to say that this work that this project is asking for, this building permit is assigned to, the work total value is $9 million. Now, how does the city or how does anyone submit an application for a building permit for a building they do not own unless the city has already signed off on it mm. and given it to them and never told the public?
Okay.
And so that begs some very serious answers. How someone is lying to us, because if they're registered as the owner of the building and filing with the city council, and the permit was, they went ahead with it and gave it to them, but $9 million. So why did the city allow this project, this building, mm-hmm. to decay to that point and still haggling over who's going to loan the money and where they're going? And we got lots more to talk about, but mm-hmm. go ahead.
That's a good question, mm-hmm. Carol, because according to the process of getting a building permit, there must be a owner of the property
mm-hmm.
who applies for the permit. That person or that owner mm-hmm. is responsible for any construction mm-hmm. and liability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if any default in terms of the building plans, that owner is charged with in terms of violation of the architectural plans.
Right.
So if technically the city still owns it, the land itself and the buildings, and it's the city that has to apply for the permits.
Okay. Then why does the permit say list the owner as Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners, LLC? The building permit lists the owner as Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners, LLC. And this was obtained in November of 2013. So we're talking pretty recent history here. This isn't, you know, an old permit or it's not... And you know what? I understand if you need a permit to do work, okay? But the deal hasn't closed. You are not the official owner. So why is it that Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners, or whatever they're called, why are they listed as owners on this building permit?
That's a good question. It should be investigated.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, go ahead, Carol.
No, no, you go ahead. I'm enjoying listening.
I was just going to say, when you said it has to be investigated, I took your advice. Last time I was on Carol's show, you were on the phone, and you had said you should contact your council member and ask for an investigation. So I did. I wrote to my council member, and I CC'd Carol a copy of that letter to my council member asking for an investigation. I got an email back saying... Council Chairman, I think, okay, now, I may not be getting all the names straight
your
here.
Your council person is Councilwoman...
Carol Fukunaga. Yes, I got an email back from her saying that one of the other council members, and I don't have that particular email with me, but it sounds, or I remember it saying something like, the council chairman or one of the other council members has already... introduced a resolution to look into the sale. But that's
the resolution basically didn't pass, if I recall. This is specifically asking for an investigation on the permit, the building permit. And so the council member, if I may, in due respect to the council member, is responsible to respond properly to that question, to get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in that place, if I may... Mm-hmm. I would have sent a letter to the administration questioning them.
Thank you.
Who is the true owner?
Thank you.
Of those housing.
Mm-hmm. So our mayor, Kirk Caldwell, basically is, I won't say he's lying, but he's sure very short with the truth or delivering, giving us true transparency. And this is, here's again, we're going to post a copy of these permits. Or the application of the permit at carolcox.com for those of you that don't want to navigate through the posse or the city's website at Department of Planning and Permitting. But to find this document, just go to the Planning and Permitting at Department of Planning and Permitting website and look under permits, building permits. But here is so that there's no confusion for the people out there to think we're trying to throw... grease in the path or cause some troubles or derail this. The TMK is 21002038. That's the description. City and County of Honolulu, Chinatown Gateway Plaza, maintenance and repair of X facility. The estimated value of the work is $9 million. Now, I know the last thing I read, and I don't trust much of what I read because it's been fed, apparently, to manipulate, and it's propaganda, all I think it is, anything that's been put out by the city. And remember now, we're going to talk later, the state is also involved in this, so we have to look toward the governor because there were bonds, there was a meeting, these entities went before that committee or the agency, state agency, to beg for revenue bonds and what have you. We're going to talk extensively about that and get into the questions. So if there's any doubt, and the actual permit, and it says here now, it was submitted November 27, 2013, and it was they have December 6 is when the date completed, they of 2013, approved with comments. So it's been approved.
How can
the permit's been approved?
Yeah, that's okay. What Posse is saying. So how can the city present all of this without giving us some insight? So that's just one big lie. Or if not a lie, they haven't provided that. And I know some of you will argue, well, it's on public, the website. Well, right, it also raises many questions. If you're not the rifle owner,
mm-hmm.
then you shouldn't be registering it. And what's the rush?
Well, okay. I'm going to speculate and answer to the questions that you're asking. Oh, mm-hmm. maybe, do you want to take the call first?
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yes. Bob Nakata. I've been associated with FACE. Many of the questions that are coming up do need to be asked. But mm-hmm. the sale is not yet completed. It's not supposed to be completed till March 31st. Management of mm-hmm. the project has not been the best, which is one of the reasons that they are put up for sale. The management would be with the buyer, but the ownership of the land will remain with the city, so that the mm-hmm. city still has responsibility for these things. But the deal itself has not yet been finalized, and that's what a lot of the controversy is now.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Nakata, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why would Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners apply for a permit as the owner if, in fact, what you just said is true? The sale is not closed. They are not the owners. Can you tell me why that would happen?
You know, that I can't really answer. They'd have to answer, but I am quite clear that the sale is not closed. Oh. I know that they have been talking to residents in all the buildings in preparation for the time when they actually have ownership and can go in there and do the repair and maintenance work.
Were you aware of this building permit, Mr. Nakata?
No, I didn't know that they had applied, but it may be, preliminary for the time when they take over so they can move quickly.
No, Bob. Hi, Bob. This is Rod. Rod Temp. How you doing?
Hey, Rod.
You're not supposed to apply for the permit at all. You know, I got involved in as a city councilman, even as a senator before, in knowing the structure and process of the city and county of Honolulu, especially how they give permits, building permits. And you cannot obtain a permit unless you're the owner of the property or the housing dwellings.
They cannot even apply.
Right, they cannot apply at all. So,
That's something that needs to be clarified.
Yeah, so the city administration owes an answer to the public itself and the residents.
Well, at minimum, it's official record reflecting a lie. It's not factual. Mm-hmm. So that's the bottom line, whether it's right, wrong, or it's just that. Go ahead, Bob. Thank you for calling in, by the way.
Yeah, there's a need for clarification, Carol, on a lot of the questions you're raising. And I think it's going to be an ongoing discussion until the deal is finalized.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're raising legitimate questions that need to be answered before the deal is finalized.
Right. And these are questions that any respectable entity or administration or person in government would know.
The administration, this idea of seller financing, I think, has caught everybody by surprise. It's a new development, and I think it's in response to the controversy that erupted about a month ago, and the seller had said basically they're having trouble getting their financing together.
Mm-hmm.
And so to address that, I think this idea, which I'm not sure how far they've gone with it, of seller financing arose. And, I don't know what that means, and I would have questions about it also.
Right. And in regards, and stay on if you
but
can.
A lot of this work is ongoing, and the deal has not been finalized. Mm-hmm. And Ember Shin, the managing director, acting mayor briefly, herself has said that basically it's in jeopardy.
You know what comes to a point, you know, overall,
yeah, I mean,
basically...
These are the kinds of questions she and the mayor will have to be answering.
And who will you think they will need to answer to? Because apparently the city council is lethargic, and pardon my expression,
there
but
are,
they need to do... I mean, they've left us here to fend for ourselves. Who does the mayor need to answer to?
They have responded to your question.
Mm-hmm. They didn't bother to respond to my questions, and let me back up 1 minute here. There was a meeting minutes of a meeting that the regular meeting of the Hawaii Housing Finance and Development Corporation held at their office on September 12th, 2013, and I note that you were there attending, but I also note that Stephen Gelber, who is one of the agent and one of the people there, he is listed as the agent for Honolulu Affordable Housing, which is managed by the Highland Property Development, and there were a few other people. So the thing is, we were discussing earlier about how many people were communicated with the lady that called earlier, how many. This is what was presented in response to the director, Larson's subsequent question. Mr. Rice, who is a representative of this affordable happy, Mr. Rice stated that communication was proactively provided in a public-private partnership with resident meetings timed purposely during the day for the senior properties, in the evenings for the family properties, and interpreters for the Chinatown properties. Resident meetings resulted in a 40 to 50% turnout. In addition, the CNC also provided a direct phone number for residents to call to have any questions. Now, I called that number, and all I got was put off until I had to say, well, I'm going to go ahead and talk about it on the radio. And I talked to the mayor's office just the other day, and I didn't think anybody could be so rude. But it's okay. That's par for the course. I understand.
I can't speak for them, but I attended many of those meetings, and I don't know about the attendance level, but there were meetings held in, I believe, every one of the 12 buildings, and there were the city and the Highland or
their representative
there, and you know, presenting their case.
Right.
I think a lot of residents also were not there.
But that is not correct.
I'm not surprised that questions are arising. I've been involved in community activities for a long time, and getting turnout can be a very difficult thing.
Right.
Mr. Nakata, I have to correct you.
Again, the questions that you are raising are questions that need to be answered before the deal is finalized.
Yeah. Well, and that meeting was just real quick, and I'll get to the caller if you'd be patient 1 second here. That meeting was actually...
You know, one of the points that has been of contention is the move of the rents from basically around the 80% level down to the 60% level, and I've supported that move because my sense is that the people in the 60% and below are the ones who are in greatest need. And with what is happening in the Kaka'ako situation, more housing for that group around 80% and somewhat higher are being addressed more so than for the 60% and below. There hardly any 60% and below in the Kakaako approvals that had already happened. And
right. Well,
that has been my major concern.
Mm-hmm.
And this sale, this buyer seems to be addressing that need.
But when we say
they
are addressing
a tremendous issue in Honolulu, including the workforce and what the Honolulu Community Development Agency calls the reserved income, which goes up to 140% of AMI.
Right.
But the housing needs across the board need to be addressed. And maybe too much is being built for the luxury market. Basically, I think that's outside investors.
Right. Well,
so your concerns are very important in terms of the future of Honolulu.
So, Bob, this meeting that was there, here are some of the takeaways from the minutes of that meeting. Issuance of bonds. They went before the Hawaii Housing.
That's kind of what I mean, that the financing package has not been completely put together, and that bonding authority was part of the package the package that the buyer is putting together.
But the buyer didn't put this...
That bond financing would help in their overall lining up of their financial package.
But we shouldn't be...
And the lining up of that financial package seems to be the sticking point in going forward with the sale.
But, okay, Bob, how do you go forward? Here, let me finish this. Issuance of these bonds require private activity bond cap. And with the allocated portions being given to the state and counties on an annual basis, the city and county has elected to give bond cap. So they gave a bond cap covering the amount of $106 million, $106,850,000 in tax-exempt bonds being requested by the Honolulu Affordable Housing Properties. There's no deal signed. Wait. There's no deal signed. How can you trust anything at this point? And beside, all 12 properties as they represented in the sale is not going to be sold. Only 9, correct?
I'm getting out of my area of expertise.
Well, I know, but I'm offering you. You said that there was some confusion and things weren't right in the questions. These are the questions that I've been able to answer by reading this document, which you attended. So I'm saying,
all I know is that this is part of the buyer's financing package, one part of it, and there are other parts of it. Getting the approval from HHFDC, I believe, helps them in talking to other potential investors.
Let me submit this. And I'm not very astute on these issues of bonds and whatever, but I do know a little bit about caps. There's a pocket. Each county has a certain amount of money allocated of my basic knowledge. And so the caps, the $106 million, let's just say that was all in the pot. The city went and pitched a deal for the, when we say the affordable, they were there. Uiki was there. They're the ones. The governor has to sign off on it. So let's understand something. When we cry and say that it's broken and it's not a good deal, well, then somebody needs to stand up and do what anybody with any concern would do. Say, to hell with this whole deal. It's nonsense. It's going to rip off the taxpayer. It's not going to create any more housing. And in fact, with that cap given, here's the dangers of that. Who is going to come in and invest in affordable homes when there is no low-income tax breaks that available, because you only get so many? And so if you give $215 million in this whole project, then there's nobody's going to come to town and build anything because there's no incentive. So they're soaking the people of this city. The mayor knows it. It's a bogus deal. It's a lie, filled with lies, and they're not being transparent. And they have us, you, me, and others, having to discuss it and advancing certain debates and arguments, when in fact the entire process is one big lie, and the documents speak for themselves, and no one should be going representing that they own it.
I'm kind of like you. This is beyond my level of expertise, but I do know that the buyer has not yet finalized its financing package.
Right.
And that's the major holdup at the city right now. The kinds of questions you're raising are the kind that I think the city council will be raising at the time when, if and when the city has and the buyer have the final package together, they will need the city council's approval.
Right.
And at this point, it sounds very much like the financing package is not in place.
Well, here's what generally happened. They want to buy our property, so they went to a lender. I'm just going to say in theory. This is what would normally happen. I'm talking about to get to this point, what should have taken place apparently did or didn't. So either way, it's wrong because we're at this standing in the middle of the road now, don't know which way to go. But here's what happens. When they offered to buy this property, what were they going to use for collateral, let's say, to the institution that was going to loan them money? What were they going to lose? Their California properties and all? So apparently, I mean, I'm just theorizing because nobody wants to tell the truth and talk about it, but apparently someone from the lending institution went and made an assessment, did an inventory. Possibly, and I'm only asking the question, did they look at their management styles and their facilities over there and say, to hell with you, you don't keep anything in quality. It's down, you know, it's run down. It's, something is wrong. So we're not going to loan you any money. Now, who in their right mind, other than Kurt Caldwell and his group or whatever you call them, would turn around and engage, continually engage with someone that says, we went to borrow money, but we weren't soluble, so therefore they won't finance us. And then you turn around and says, well, I want to sell it to you, so I'll give you the money to buy it from me. Now, either someone's smoking dope or someone's just masterfully lying. I don't know what.
I think it's the latter.
But something is wrong, Bob, with this whole process, and that in itself. And one of the questions I had written to the city that I asked, if the buyer can't find a lender, why would the city loan them the money?
As I said, many of your questions are legitimate, and before the finalizing of the deal, they do need to be answered.
If the buyer can't find a lender, why would the city loan them the money? If the city loans the buyer the money to buy the city's housing, what are the conditions of the loan? What measures is the city incorporating in the financing agreement? So what happens if the buyer defaults in its repayment of the loan? See, these are simple questions.
These are the kinds of things being addressed by the city, and you know they haven't yet advanced their final financing package.
But shouldn't we be abreast of the
questions that you're raising are answered in the negative?
But you've been close to
imagine that the deal would not move forward.
Yeah, you've been closely situated with this, and don't you think even you yourself should have been provided with some of these basic answers?
And then we're faced with the whole question of what happens next.
Right. So, but
and
there,
I think, in her comments, Ember Shin was pretty clear that this is not yet a done deal.
Should we trust that? I mean, what?
I think I would hope that these are questions they are looking at.
Yeah, but that's like walking by and taking coins out of your pocket and throwing in and saying, I hope that
they do need to be answered.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They do need to be answered.
But does it, by answering it, when do they answer it, and when do we get to rebut, or when do we get to ask questions? After the fact?
No. You know, it's not finalized.
Right, I understand,
or
but
the deal is finalized.
But what is the deal?
I don't know.
Right.
And my impression is, at this point, the city itself doesn't know.
So
if the city doesn't know what the deal is, why would they move forward? All I'm asking is for everyone to just stop and look at the numbers, add up the numbers, investigate the reason, you know, investigate all this.
And again, I would hope that this is the process that's going on right now.
It doesn't look like they're stopping. They're trying to rush it until March 31st. And what is it going to take? I mean, let's say that the sale goes through. Then we're all stuck with this deal.
We still have avenues. This, whatever the deal is, cannot move forward until the council approves it. And it has not yet been presented to the council. And I don't think that the administration itself has the details of it together yet in order to present to the council.
Say, Bob, let me say something fundamentally in terms of procurement laws, and because I was chairman for government operations in the Senate, and I overhauled the procurement laws, okay? And procurement laws basically state that in the bidding process, the details must be laid out concretely. You cannot, in the middle of the game of a chosen bidder, come up with new conditions at all. Otherwise, you have other bidders who tried for the bid will sue the state or the city in this case.
Well, I think that's what's next.
Yeah,
we're going to have
and
some lawsuits by the potential other buyers.
That is one of the major questions.
So the city administration is wrong by adding new dimensions into the contract proposals, such as the city finance. By the way, the city is in a deficit. We're practically bankrupt right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not a loaner. We don't loan money to people.
How could you finance something if you don't have the money yourself?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there have been sharks sighted in Maui and close to shore here. And I think we got a loan shark there in the city hall. Kirk has turned into a loan shark because why else would we be loaning money and what interest rate?
Yeah.
Right?
So
tiger sharks, watch out.
Kirk Caldwell, his administration, has even restricted the budget in terms of for the services of the city.
Yeah.
The city council came with a budget for this fiscal year.
Yeah.
And he said he's restricting a lot of the funds. So we don't have money.
Yet the city has money to loan these people to make this purchase.
Yeah. And you know, I reflect back on this recent news coverage. We're going to take a break, and Bob, you're more than welcome to call back and stay with us. But I look at this debate.
You're raising the right kinds of questions that need to be answered before the deal is approved, if it is approved.
Right. I think with that permit is...
It's still in question, and from Amber Shin's comment, she knows that...
Well, it's not...
...are not good that it'll be finalized.
It's not cheap to hire an M5 architecture, and it's not cheap to do plans.
The budget is in terrible shape.
And is a...
the problem...
Right.
The city is facing is that they were counting on this sale to help on the revenue side of the city budget.
Oh, while taking money out of their pocket. So let me get this right. They're broke, but they're going to sell it to someone, but give them the money to buy it.
All around.
Oh, okay.
And I hope that the city and the buyer are addressing the questions that are being raised now.
All right. Well, I've as I was saying, we're going to take a break here.
Positively, then I think the deal will not move forward.
Right. It shouldn't have moved any further, but hopefully someone comes to the
senses. And then I don't know whether it goes to a new round of RFP and bidders.
Well, yeah, I hope so. But anyway, we're going to take a break. And
in the meantime, the residents are still left hanging about what their future is.
And I say anybody advocating for them should be able to stand up and pull their ears and scream, because this thing shouldn't go forward. If there's so many unanswered questions, we're going to answer them in the best ability that we can, as long as they're secretive.
Okay,
so, well, thank you.
For taking my call. I need to move on.
Thank you, Mr. Nakata.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Again, Bob.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for accepting my call and for addressing,
okay,
for raising these questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha. This is an with the mayor and the city, how they're handling this. This is an example when they say the war on poverty.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is that the war on poverty will never succeed, because when you get shysters in and slicksters in that's supposed to be representing and fighting and holding the people that live there accountable and all of that,
mm-hmm,
but we're squandering money. We're handing, mm-hmm, money hand over fist and loaning,
right,
money to buyers and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn around and say, oh, the war on poverty failed. You're darn right it failed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no war. We're shooting rubber bullets,
right,
so to speak. So it's insulting, mm-hmm, to see that this would even get this far. And we're going to talk. We got lots of stuff to share with listeners out there. And I mean, it shouldn't go any further. So
actually,
we'll be back,
you know, FACE took on the position that they represented. FACE took on the position that they represented the residents.
Right.
And they don't truly represent the residents.
Correct. Thank you. Let's talk about that in the next
show. So we'll come back. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were off.
One thing, though, you can also, I failed to mention, you can pick this up at carolcox.com over the Internet, live streaming. So please tune in, and we'll be back shortly. Again, my guest is Rod Tam, a former city councilman, state senator, state rep, and Jane Pasquale, a citizen and tenant at one of the facilities being sold. So anyway, everyone think that it's 12 properties being sold, but in this, with the bond ratings and the issuance of the bonds, they asked to have those excluded. They're only covering 9, and we'll get more detail.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Say hallelujah, throw up your hands, the bucket is kicked, the body is gone. Close your eyes and bow your head to rest your soul in the praise of death. Say hallelujah, throw up your hands, the bucket is kicked, the body is gone. Dry your eyes and stand upright, put a smile on your face, it wouldn't want us to cry. Stars will shine, turn into dust and night till dawn. We'll pass on, but until that time, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Throw up your hands, the bucket is kicked, the body is gone. Have mercy, it's a wonderful night, eternal rest for the weary mourners parted tonight. It is kicked, the body is gone. Wave your hands, but don't say goodbye. We're all gonna meet you on the other side.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Always a pleasure just chatting with you, and hopefully I do apologize for not getting to the caller, so feel free to call back just the way it unfolds here. But we're discussing the city's sale of affordable housing, and the question is it a blessing or is it a nightmare, or is it for the taxpayer? Who is really benefiting? And if you do a little Googling or a little research, there's this, I guess, an activity of going, a lot of this affordable housing and the bond ratings and all of that, some of this shows up at the stock market, and who's really benefiting? You see, what's happening is if I was interested in buying one of these buildings, I would try and maximize my profit. And how would I do that? Well, if the potential is that I can get $2,500 a month for rent, but the people living there can only afford $500, I'll get them to get in on Section 8, and then I would turn around and they will pay me their $500, and then in turn I would turn to the federal government and say, give me the rest of it, which is $2,000. So imagine if you had 200 units and you could somehow work it away with the aid of Kurt Caldwell and his minions. You would think, well, there's not much left, but who would leave $9 million worth of work sitting around while they're mulling over a deal? We've discovered that there's a building permit issued to the Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners, which is the same managed members by Honolulu Affordable Partners. It's Highland Property Development, and their agent showed up as Stephen M. Gelber. But anyway, my guests are Mr. Rod Tam and also Ms. Jane Pasquale. As you know, Mr. Tam is former city council, state representative, and state senator, and Jane's a citizen and tenant. So, and I'm Carol Cox, the troublemaker. Anyway. But let's talk about these questions that I wrote. And mind you, the HUD didn't respond. Now, I'm sure we didn't get your questions. This is the same lame, but I got a receipt on my computer. Mm-hmm. But also saying that I didn't get anything saying delivery notice. So fail. So the thing is, I said earlier before closing on this first hour, the war on poverty. The problem is, you take what I call, and I mean this is really rude of me to say this, but HUD is nothing more than a bubblegum cop. They give money and they stand there. When you go to talk to them, their mouth, they tell you all kinds of things. Oh yeah, you can't do this and can't do that. Look at the current deal. If they originally came out and said $7 to $8 million were stolen or misappropriated or mm-hmm. mishandled on the ORI in that incident, mm-hmm. why are they now talking about $1 million entertaining that? Let's hear some handcuffs come out of somebody's mm-hmm. and let's see somebody go to jail. Mm-hmm. HUD is the bubblegum cop in this, because mm-hmm. and that's why this quote war on poverty fails, because nobody has the interest of the little man. It's mm-hmm. all nonsense, waste of money, mm-hmm. and the fat guys, mm-hmm. big pockets, find their way to the Caldwells, to the mm-hmm. Abercrombies, and then they stick it to us. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here going, well, I wonder what they're going to do next. We'll respond when.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that some of you didn't tune in to hear such talk, but that's the way it is. It's mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, guys, if you would.
Well, in case you didn't tune in last hour, just a basic background, 12 of the affordable housing buildings in the city of Honolulu are being sold by the city of Honolulu.
Hello?
Yeah, just hold on, Marcia.
Hello?
Yeah, Marcia, hold on.
Yes?
Just hold on. Hold on.
I can't hear you.
Okay, Marcia, if you can hear us, can you just hold on 1 second, please? So anyway, these affordable buildings are being sold by the city to Honolulu Affordable Housing Partners, LLC, also known, I think, as Highlands, Highlands Properties? Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're called. And just for the record, I, as a resident of one of the buildings, which is Chinatown Gateway Plaza, I am not opposed to a sale of these buildings. I am not opposed to my rent going up. I understand that rents have to go up. I understand that the city budget has to be balanced. I understand that these rents have to go up to help the budget and to help our money situation in the city. I'm not opposing any of that. What I am opposing is this sale, because this sale has brought on more questions than answers. And in the last hour, we ended our discussion with Mr. Tam. You were talking about how the city may be sued because by the other bidders.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is what's going to happen if the city doesn't stop right now and say, you know, it just makes sense to me that the city would just stop and say, let's, you know, either start all over or let's reevaluate what's going on.
Let me clarify why the city can be sued. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's a proposal for a bid, specifications are put within the bid according to procurement laws of the state of Hawaii and the city of Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of Hawaii is the father of procurement laws, the basic mm-hmm. foundation. The city will maybe put added details in it, mm-hmm. okay, but cannot deduct from the what the state mm-hmm. has made law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened is before any bidding, all the details must be put into the bid.
Yeah.
And everybody has to bid accordingly. You cannot change it in midstream.
Right, but let's say we know those things can't be done. All of this can't be done. Mm-hmm. Here's the question: who's going to? We say that they're going to. There might be a suit. Who's going to sue?
The other bidders, the ones who were in line to try and be part of this deal.
But why do we care when we got more immediate problems, when we can stamp it out now? Why it's like looking for at the mountaintop, waiting for something to run down the hill to save
That's
you.
That's exactly my question. Why not just stop it
right.
before
so
it gets
this,
too costly?
This thing about they can be sued. Of course they can, but who? Mm-hmm. And they more than likely... The other bidder's not going to sue on your behalf.
And you're right, Carol. Why wait until the suit comes available? Mm-hmm. Why not mm-hmm. do something now?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to correct the problem.
Be proactive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I do. This is Marcia.
Okay. Hi, Marcia.
And I have worked with and for every administration since 1972. I've never seen anything like this. And I did work for Rod Tam. And I love him dearly. And one of the things I learned when I worked for Rob was how to read the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the current budget, all your questions are answered because the sale of this property is in the budget and the operating money is based on both the mayor's budget and the city council's budget is based on the sale of this property. It's right there.
Okay.
They have included it. And that's why everybody's in an uproar, because they put it in the budget and the budget passed.
So what are you saying? Then we should shut the hell up and go away? What are you saying? Marcia, what are you saying?
That's their budget. It's based on that.
But what are you saying, though, so that because it's in the budget, we should just shut the hell up?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Are you saying we should just shut up and go away because it's in the budget? That all the information that we need is there. So
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I don't know. Are you there? How about now? Marcia, can you hear me?
No. I don't know. I lost
you
somewhere.
You must have a...
But that's okay. You go ahead and talk, and I'll hang up.
Okay. Anyway, someone's going to sue. Now, I don't know. I was hoping she'd call back to clarify, because if it's in the budget, mm-hmm. does that mean that then we're at fault because it's in the budget, and so therefore...
it's set in stone? No,
City council can always go back and update themselves on the budget.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to sit and discuss the city council. Right. This is more pressing.
But it should not be set in stone.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's something that's unanswerable or there's something on the hand and shenanigans going on, mm-hmm. So let's go to these questions. This is what, and
now these questions that you're talking about, these are questions that you
wrote
to the mayor and to the housing
HUD, Mr. Chandler, Mark
Urban
Chandler.
House, what does HUD stand for?
Housing and Urban Development.
Thank you.
So anyway, did the buyer seek a loan from a private individual, an independent financial institution, to finance the purchase? Was the buyer accepted or rejected by the private or independent financial institution? Did the city ascertain the ability of the buyer to obtain financing of the purchase of the city's affordable homes? If yes, what was the determination? Any comment? That what do you think? They have we seen information out there that would answer this?
Okay, well, let's just take that question. Did the city ascertain the ability of the buyer to obtain financing of the purchase of the city's affordable housing buildings? If yes, what was the determination? Well, obviously the answer is not yes, mm-hmm. because the sale is still pending.
Yeah, I mean,
So no, the city didn't. The city must not have ascertained.
Well, see, this is the thing. Keep us guessing, and I can only speculate. Maybe they did, and they should make that available. Maybe they didn't.
Mr. Tam, your resolution, isn't it supposed to be that the process is public?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So why isn't the answer public?
Well, I understand. Well, I don't know. And why didn't they respond to me?
Right.
Because I'm a nothing.
No, they didn't respond to you because they don't have an answer, Carol.
Well, I'm not going to go to that extent to say.
You know, in response to your question here right. about ascertaining the ability of the buyer financially, whenever there is a person is awarded a bid, their finances are reviewed, and
right.
they're supposed to be solvent.
Right.
And to carry out the demands of the resolution, Resolution 08-108, you have to have solvency. You have to have a financial accountability to do the project because you're supposed to maintain not only administration of it, but the maintenance and the long-range plan to have affordable rental units.
Right, right.
In fact, to increase it in future.
Right. So either the city, they are obligated to ask it and determine if the financially soluble, or they didn't. It's a 50-50. They did or they didn't. Mm-hmm. If they didn't, then they could answer my question that we didn't do it. If they did, mm-hmm. answer the question and give me the information.
Mm-hmm.
So if they didn't, why not? So is the city offering a finance to buyer's purchase because the buyer could not obtain financing for its purchase of affordable housing? So it sounds like these questions are repetitive, but I don't want them to write me back with slick answers.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. If the buyer, if an independent financial institution, a private lender, would not loan the money, why would the city lend the buyer money to purchase city property?
Yeah, I'm still baffled about that.
Because they're saying they're broke, and they're doing this to make money. Are they? Anyway.
So it's like a catch-22, isn't it? Like, if you're broke, and you're having to cut city services, then where are you going to get the money to fund the buyer's purchase if they can't
mm-hmm.
get financing?
And if they can't get financing and can't afford to pay it, how are they going to pay the money to for example this one building, $9 million they estimate the value? Is it get in and immediately jack up the prices on the renters? What's
yes,
the protection?
That's what the
what is there in place to guard against that behavior?
There isn't, except there's this resolution that Mr. Tam put out,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's abiding by the resolution.
Yeah.
With the city financing, you know, as they didn't want to, basically it puts the city more in debt, you know, more obligation. And then
so you're saying this sale is putting them more in debt?
Yeah, it will put them in debt, rather than make money for it.
So why would they want
to
finance?
Because when you have to have outstanding loans mm-hmm. on the books, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
your credit is not so good.
Right.
right.
So, a couple of things. I'm curious. Engaging in such practices, if a financial lender wouldn't loan them money, and based on, as I alluded to, speculated that the properties are poorly managed, wouldn't rise to the occasion, how will that affect the state bond ratings? Because, you know, just they go through an inventory, the city. So what steps did the city take to confirm the claim that no financial institution or other private lenders would loan the buyer the money to purchase the affordable property?
We don't know because they haven't
disclosed. Tell us.
Yeah.
And what's so difficult about sharing that kind of information? But what funding source will the city rely on to fund the city's effort to recover money owed to the city by the buyer if the buyer defaults?
The taxpayers.
Yeah, where are they going to get it from?
That's really the only place they can get it from, right?
What Carol was saying, that the buyer could just all of a sudden walk away one day and the city be left holding the bag.
Right, that is true.
Yeah, and did the city consider issuing bonds for the sale of the affordable housing? If yes, what were the results? So, you see, they could have answered that. It's in the minutes that the Scott Foster recovered and just late, you know, but they could have answered that. But they don't want to answer anybody anything. It's their show.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. I understand from what you've been saying here. I think what we have here is a war on the poor and the homeless, not a war on poverty, you know. And I mean, this is serious stuff. You're talking about lives that are going to get, everybody's going to even need more folks ending up on the sidewalks and that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's pathetic, and they can't get their act together. Anyway, that's my little two bits.
Okay,
anybody have some comments?
Thank you
I would appreciate
comment.
It.
Thank you, Dave.
By the way,
have a good day.
All right, I want to add in terms of when I was a city councilman, the reason that the city couldn't put more money is because we didn't want to ruin our bond rating. Okay, so we didn't have the financial backing, and therefore the idea was to maintain affordable rental units. But how do we do that? So I came up with the idea that we own the land and we sell the buildings with the condition of having these affordable rental housing.
Right?
Like any landlord, landowner does in the private sector. They put conditions.
Right. So and if you don't meet those conditions,
then you don't.
Right.
So and be a tenant.
Another question I asked was, has the mayor formally consulted with the United States Housing, or HUD, on the sale of the city's affordable housing? If yes, when and what is HUD's position on the sale? Well, we already, now I've read other things where the HUD actually went in and basically suggested he had no problem with the deal. But keep that in mind. So I ask the follow-up question is, if HUD has not consulted,
has not been consulted,
does the city intend to consult with HUD? And this is on the CDBG money now. And so how much money did the city receive from HUD in July 2012 of CDBG money?
What is CGBD?
The community...
Community block rent.
Okay.
Block rent.
Okay.
And so how much of the money received in 2012 budget has been spent? How much money did the city receive in July 2013? How much of that money is received in the budget and has been spent? Did the city spending of the money received in 2012 and 2013 meet the action, quote, action timeline test?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The timeline test is a, you have a criteria that you have to spend it according to certain rules.
Okay.
What it is government budgets on a year-to-year basis.
Okay.
And within that year, as an example, you got to spend all that money. Okay. If you don't spend the money, then you have to give it back.
Right.
Oh.
And you have to meet certain criteria. It's like, for example, out in Honolulu, that Eva place where there's a big question which came out in the paper. And the city said, well, yeah, we use CBG funds, and therefore they didn't carry the criteria and so forth.
Right.
So the federal said, we want our money back. Okay?
Right. So did the city spending of the money received in 2012 and 2013 meet the action timelessness test? Is it true that the city failed to spend timely and failed to meet HUD's action timeliness test?
I would think so.
I'm informed that they... failed in that, and in the result of that, is it true that the city must spend a certain portion of the money received by HUD from HUD by May of each year, May 1st. Mm-hmm. Is there any truth to the claim that the city has entered into a, quote, workout agreement with HUD because the city failed to spend money it received from HUD consistent with the action timeliness test? Is there any truth to the claim that the city has determined its employees are not properly managing the affordable homes property? If yes, what steps did they take to improve their management of the properties? And why were city employees retained if the city determined employees were unable to manage or improve their efforts to manage the properties? That, what do you think?
Well, basically, if I may speak on behalf of the employees, and I work with them at the ground level, the maintenance crew and so forth, they couldn't do their job because administration under the mayor's office, the past mayors, whether it be Harris and Murphy Hanneman, and even the current mayor, doesn't give the money for maintenance
mm-hmm.
and repairs. Okay? So therefore, they couldn't do their job. And this is why the whole purpose of selling the housing building units,
mm-hmm.
okay, but keep the land, the city keeps the land, so that it can be properly maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And can have everlasting affordable rental housing.
But if they're not given the funds, if the department is not given the funds,
then we don't have money.
Yeah.
Yeah, the city doesn't have money.
Well, wait now. You see, that's too loosely spoken there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about HUD's money.
Saying, okay.
I don't want to miss the cows
yeah.
with the sheep. This is specific. See, this is why if we take a shotgun approach, we're all over the place. And that
well, the city has to show in terms of do financial accountability.
Well, let's adhere to this. We're talking about affordable home and this specific effort to buy and lie.
Okay.
Buy and lie.
This is what it's about, okay? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But this is about they got money and the information that I received from inside, hey, some of them do talk to me, mm-hmm. saying that they have failed. That's the claim. And I'm asking the question, is it true that you receive money, but you fail to spend it? You've gotten it from HUD with a specific interest, a intent, a purpose, and you don't spend it properly? So the bigger question is, are you going to use that money that you pack rat, put it away for a while, to use to buy on behalf of the buyer?
I see what you're saying. Instead of using the money for what it's supposed to be used for, maintenance,
right.
Are you going to be using it to fund the sale?
Or maintenance or whatever, you know, whatever it is that they were money for, what are the pretenses?
But Carol is right, because in my years of service of 28 years, I've seen it whereby state and city mm-hmm. has gotten money from the federal mm-hmm. and they put it in their pocket,
right.
in general mm-hmm. funds, and don't spend it. Mm-hmm. This is when HUD, in this case, needs to have an internal audit
right.
of the city.
This war on poverty that we talk about, never heard a shot fired.
Well,
misfires.
If you're saying HUD would monitor the city's spending, who's monitoring HUD? Where's the check and balance?
I guess we have to, the public, we have to scream and yell. And so they start doing their work.
Right? Okay.
That's why you're here.
it's we, the citizens of the United States, mm-hmm. that own government.
Right.
And we have to make sure that they're responding to us.
Yeah, but I think they forget that, especially in this sale. I think a lot of the lawmakers, especially in the city, have forgotten about that.
Well, if we, the citizens, are very complacent, mm-hmm. government officials mm-hmm. would mess around with us,
mm-hmm.
quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or if the city managers are intent on defrauding the public, how in heck will you ever know?
Mm-hmm.
How do we speculate what their intent and purpose is? The reality is, as this thing unfolds, it's clear that the basic steps are missed here. They're not transparent.
Mm-hmm.
They're not transparent. And they only tell you what they want you to know when they want you to know it.
This is why we need you, Carol, as an advocate. Mm-hmm. And others, too, in the public.
Yeah.
If we don't have advocates for people's rights
mm-hmm.
and to oversee government, then we'll be at a loss.
Here's another question. Is there any truth to the claim that the city is selling the affordable homes because they are not making a profit? If yes, what other city projects are not making profit, and will your administration sell those services or programs to private interests? How about that?
The idea is not to make profit. The idea is
government
to maintain.
Should be making money, right?
Right. But then again, we can't even sustain it. And that's the problem there. The basic problem is able to sustain it.
Yeah, but if they're saying they're having to sell it because it's not making money.
Oh, that's the wrong intention.
When I drive up and put my money in the parking meter, I'm not paying for the total parking meter. I'm just committing a few cents to the overall pot. Right. So if that's the criteria for getting rid of a city function, then by God, everything would be gone. Because what
the
makes
whole
money?
Issue of privatization has been, I mean, you know, that it's been long debated.
Right, but privatization and then keep the workforce working for the city doing what? Holding the door and hiding the documents and letting the mayor know that you or me or others are calling to ask questions about something we should be just automatically informed on?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the problem. We're building a workforce, still paying them, and then privatizing. Mm-hmm. Privatizing is going to create a hellacious climate for the renter, because once it's privatized, the way these guys work in Section 8, I can take you to Miley and many other places, mm-hmm. you're a prisoner there.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than any boot camp you'd find, psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
They can strong arm you, they can push you around, they can violate your rights, mm-hmm. and you don't have any recourse. You can contact the governor, mm-hmm. you can contact the mayor's office, but guess what's going to happen? They're not going to engage, because that's why they want to wash their hands of it.
Mm-hmm.
They just want the money.
Right. And Section 8, you're at the mercy of the government. So,
yeah.
Of course, you can't really do anything.
Yeah, and many are going to say, well, you know, they deserve it. No, they don't deserve it. This is about good ethics
mm-hmm.
in government. Mm-hmm. It's diverting monies, misusing monies, and the ultimate sin is giving it to their fat cat friends. That's
mm-hmm.
the bottom line. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the big lie being told here. This deal, anybody that stands for this deal and say, well, you know, it's going to work itself out.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. I'm...
There are too many unanswered questions, and unless these questions are answered, then no, it's not going to work itself out.
So I did some checking. Peter Savio, Charles Walton, and Richard Gush and those guys were those that group we've already talked about, Hoppe and the two other folks. I don't know what they're doing, the bidders.
I wasn't aware that Peter Savio was part of this group.
No.
Oh.
He competed for the bid.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, mm-hmm. Again, I'm not going to sit here and speak for him. He has more money, more time, more interest, and mm-hmm. I'm sure that, you know. So, that, why would they fight for it? I mean, they stand back and see what happened. They competed for it. Why aren't mm-hmm. they aggressive, or are they waiting?
It leads back to the whole... those other developers or those other bidders can sue the city.
Well, let me say this. The resolution, see, we say that we wanted a non-profit.
Okay.
So people or bidders wouldn't be profit-oriented.
Yeah,
some of those people that the other bidders you mentioned, Carol, have been known as profit-oriented.
Right.
But the guy that's buying it now is profit-oriented. Yeah. They're for profit. They are not... non-profit.
And this is why the city has a responsibility to look into their finances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And their history in terms of how to take care of affordable housing. They have to have a history
mm-hmm.
and experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not just say, oh, one day I want to do affordable right. rental housing.
Okay. Here's a question I ask. Has the city offered the other buyers or bidders that competed in the bidding process to purchase the affordable homes given the same opportunity to purchase the properties with the city lending them money to purchase the property? If yes, what was the outcome?
I don't think so.
So that when I see this kind of behavior, I don't know if they did or didn't, mm-hmm. but if they didn't, that just tells me that's how corrupt we are and how just blatant, arrogant.
Don't say we, the city. The city is corrupt.
But we, I'm part of the city unless I sit here. That's why I'm sitting here screaming now. I'm mm-hmm. part of the system. See, that...
Mm-hmm.
Those that want to detach themselves, that's fine too. Then they'll just hear the train coming and run them over. What are the names of the buyers that bid for the purchase? They could have told me that, but they ignored my letters.
Mm-hmm.
So how much money is being paid? When will they be paid for their services? And what percentage will the brokers be paid? Who is the real estate broker in this?
Early early on, there was a group. I don't want to misquote, but I thought I saw C.R.B. Ellis. That was very early on. The real estate agent could have changed by now. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But you see, all of this information should be posted. Public. It should be public. The process should be public because this is city housing. And city housing is public housing. So, you know, all of this process should have been publicized. And as far as I'm concerned, I haven't been privy to any of, or I shouldn't say any, but to a lot of this information.
Mm-hmm. So I asked HUD now some questions, and same thing. Is the city required to consult the HUD prior to selling the affordable housing? How much money did the city receive from HUD in 2012 and 2013? HUD didn't bother to respond. How much money did the city receive from HUD in 2013? And then did the city spending of the money received meet the action timeliness test? If no, please provide specifics. Can the city lend any portion of the unspent money to the buyer of its affordable housing to purchase the city's affordable housing? Is it true that the city failed to spend timely and failed to meet HUD's action timeliness test? They could have sent me an email back.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the bubblegum cop mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We're bigger than you and go away. So mm-hmm. they're in concert because, take for example, the incident, I keep repeating it, where Miss Oakland, what's her name?
Suzanne.
The Pam Whitty Oakland.
Oh, okay.
She's with St. Francis Hospital, or was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got in, she automatically ordered, directed her people that work under her to give some $400,000+ to St. Francis. I've learned about it. Call Chandler. Chandler says, this is HUD now. The money is misspent, and he had written a letter. That's how I, not a letter. I was told he wrote a letter, but saying they were in violation and they must retract that and return the money
mm-hmm.
to the city.
Mm-hmm.
But when I asked, talked to Chandler directly, he says, oh, no, it was done by phone. When I asked the city for a copy of the check and the documents, they gave me the runaround. So these guys are skilled at stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, this city, this administration here, I'm sorry, but I have the documents and the behavior, and then they will lie to you and stand at the door and put you off. So what does that say? Why am I so passionate about this? Each time I drive along the highways, whether I'm coming into Nimitz, I see the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I see the homeless, but I see human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Each time I drive Allah, I see human beings mm-hmm. being in a predicament worse than anything. I don't care what your finances are, your politics is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wrong
mm-hmm.
for us to, and then we have some leverage by taking on this mayor and this governor and saying, you need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my place? I don't know. But
it's all of
that's what, if anybody's, why am I sounding so interested? Mm-hmm. It's, I don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do live is when I travel these roads and, mm-hmm. and see the homeless and mm-hmm. the less fortunate people. Mm-hmm. And we got shenanigans like this being played. $9 million in a contract to fix a building that's going to go to their friends, that we're going to take money out of our pockets, and then supposedly they're not spending the money properly or
mm-hmm.
timely.
Mm-hmm.
How do you face yourself in the morning and say that you're the mayor of all people
mm-hmm.
of the city? How do you do that, Rod?
It's very difficult unless you want to be a part of it,
yeah.
quite frankly. You want to not be a public servant
mm-hmm.
and think about yourself only.
You know, Carol, I want to sort of speak to what you were talking about. When you see the homeless people at A'ala, you see them off of Nimitz, you see them, they're everywhere. They're not just in the areas that you mentioned, but pretty soon, if this sale goes through, you're going to have a large number more people that are homeless
mm-hmm.
because this sale, even though the buyers in the city are saying the residents will not be displaced, Of course, from their perspective, the residents will not be displaced, but because they wouldn't be able to meet those criteria of rent increases 10% for the next 10 years, that automatically displaces each individual themselves. Of course, it's not going to be the city displacing the person, but the person who can't pay that rent is going to displace themselves. And where are they going to go? They're going to go to the street, or they're going to go live with family, or they're going to move to the mainland. But the point I was trying to make is, if they don't have family, if they don't have somewhere to go on the mainland, if they don't have anywhere to go, they go to the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see a lot more homeless people if this deal goes through. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a deal. I'm saying we should have a deal. But it should be a win-win for everyone. Not just the fat, you know, the fat pockets of the city or the politicians or the developers or whatever, but the people who truly have to live with this deal, the residents and the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it affordable for everybody.
Well, or those that need it. But anyway, this document that, let's see here. I was taken aback. Have you, any of you heard that exactly? I always was told that it was 12 properties being sold in this sale.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, and maybe this is their way of saying, well, we put the minutes online and so we weren't hiding anything or anything. But again, they need to tell us, be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say 40 to 50% of the people that attended, well, what about the 100% of the taxpayer who want to know where their tax dollars are
right.
going.
Right, yes.
See, they haven't made, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's about them and the people that live there. That's the sad part about this. This mayor has divested himself of the concerns and the obligation to answer to all of us as citizens and taxpayers. And I think that's what I don't trust about this deal. He didn't have the desire or the respect. See, he might think he has a captive audience with the tenants. But what about the people he also owe a responsibility to show that there's integrity in his administration? Where is it? Very bold guy, if you look at the way it's played out. And that's why another reason I'm interested in this, to show that we, what about this gentleman that we should trust? What? Because he's as an acting manager, was managing director, then acting mayor, and then you see, he's not just Johnny come lately and got in a ball of confusion.
Well, I didn't vote for him, so I, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, Carol. Anyway, back to your comment about, I'm sorry, what was it that you were about the 12 buildings? Okay, so my understanding was all 12 buildings were going to be sold in this deal. What happens? Did you say only nine?
What happens
to the other three?
Here, the HHFDC will be involved with the financing for the following 9 out of 12 projects: Kulana Nani, Manoa Gardens, Westlock Village, Westlake Apartments, Chinatown Gateway Plaza, Chinatown Manor, Harbor Village, Marin Towers, and Winston Holly. The nine projects will provide an aggregate amount of 967 affordable units at 60% of the area median income, AMI, and four manager units.
Okay, what about those four? Huh? Okay, so then what happens to the...
The remaining three projects, Bachelor's Quarters, Kanoa Apartments, and Pau'ahi Hale, will not be part of this financing transaction, but shall be transferred and designated for future development.
What do you mean by future development?
Yeah, and
you know,
and
this is a resolution called for by passed by the city council, and the mayor at that time agreed in terms of it was Mufi Hanamit,
right,
basically. That all 12 units, because it was a smart thing to do financially to maintain.
Am I wrong to think if they don't own it, as Bob said, and he knows better than me, that it has not been sealed, the deal has not been sealed. If they don't own it, how can they go before the Hawaii Housing Finance Development Corporation and seek bonding, revenue bonding, and get it approved? How if... I don't know. Maybe I'm just completely off base and don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And if I don't, I apologize. And I really don't, but I'm sure asking questions.
Well, no financing. Whenever you go for financing, basically, you can say, well, I'm going to purchase this one for real estate property or whatever. And then, can I get financing on this? I don't own it yet, but can I get financing? Okay? And that's the most you can do.
Well, out of my ignorance, I'm just telling you. And it may be appropriate. It may be as legal as all get up to for not own a building, not own a property, but you're in negotiation to go before a government agency and say, give us a cap. We want the bond, the revenue bonds, and give us $106 million. We don't own the property. We're just talking to them for buying it. But go ahead. Can you give it to them? I don't know if that's logical or legal.
It doesn't sound financially, basically. Right. You know,
but I don't think it's
because
legal.
Because you don't
either.
Own a property at all.
I'm not going to. I don't know. But you understand. I mean, how do you go before this body and ask this thing? And then how does a city with good conscience, knowing that it has not hammered out the deal and it's not sealed and finalize, why would you go in and advocate for these people at this time?
Okay, let me see if I can break it down. And let me see if I'm understanding this correctly. Okay, let's say that I'm a buyer of a property, and I'm buying your house. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I go to a bank and I say, bank, I'd like to buy Carol's house. Mm-hmm. I don't have the money, but here are all my financial information and everything you need to know about lending me a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And, Rod, you're the bank. Okay, so you say to me, well, Jane, it doesn't look like you qualify for the financing I'm offering. So then, this is equivalent to what you're describing now, okay? This is a scenario. So I then, as the buyer, say, well, I couldn't find financing, but I declare that I own the property, so I'm going to just go ahead and get some bonds and just say that, I mean, what?
And City, can you accompany me to vouch for me and ask for that cap and have that $106 million diverted to me?
That sounds like what they're doing.
Well, that's what.
because if the scenario that I just described as an average person going to a bank, going to a person that is selling their house, and I can't get financing, but yet somehow I get a bond and somehow I get a building permit that says I'm the owner, how would I do that?
You know, the finance company would do it, tell the city, okay, you sign, you co-sign. Basically,
they'd offer the city the opportunity, but we don't
but the
know
city
that.
Would be stupid to co-sign, to be honest with you.
Yeah, with an insolvent entity, or I don't know if they're insolvent, but I'm only basing my comments on the limited information that they put out.
The city is not in the business of loaning money, quite
then
frankly.
Why are they offering it? That's what they're saying. In what's happening right now, they're saying, we will be seller finance, and we will give you until March 31st to complete the deal. Well, how are you going to complete it if you're already saying, okay, this is what I'm hearing. I am the city, and I'm broke, but I will finance you, the buyer. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense.
Does this set precedent?
Yeah, the city would have to go in for bonding himself, and we're obligating ourselves to more financial insolvency.
And putting our bonding at risk.
Right.
Possibly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then our credit rating goes down.
Right.
As it is now, we're surviving on a cash basis day to day.
So I declare on this date that the Bank of Kirk is open. Anybody out there that want to buy a park, whatever land you want to, see Kirk. I believe. I mean, it's. Where do you stop?
I don't know.
I mean, it's. I don't know.
And why don't you stop?
But so that's why I say to suggest that this deal, well, not against it. I'm completely against it. And I wouldn't mind seeing somebody investigate and maybe put some handcuffs on somebody with this kind of behavior going on. All of this money with HUD, look at in the news, and as we reported a couple of years back, the ability not to account for it.
Good morning, caller. Real quick, you have a comment or question?
I have a question.
Yes.
Oh, hi, Carol Cox. Hi, Jim Pasquale.
Hello. Are you there?
I was trying to transfer him.
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah,
hi.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Real quick, go ahead. We have
a question. So, how's the city, like, going to, how's the city going to do in 2014, you know?
Well, we don't know. We'll call me back later, and I'll look at my crystal ball, and I'll get back with you. Okay?
If you don't know, then basically that means that our government is not communicating with the public in terms of...
Is that Rod Tam?
Yeah, that's Rod Tam, right?
Hey, Rod Tam.
How you doing? Okay, but the city has a responsibility to publicly communicate our finances with you and everybody else.
Hey, Jane, this is like the first time I've talked to you and Rod Tam, you know?
Okay, well, we're going to cut it short because we're down in the last few minutes and I got a little something to do before that, okay?
Can I call you after the show or something?
Okay,
thank you for calling.
Aloha. Okay, let me see if I got, and real quick, real close, any closing comments, and I apologize to the listeners, it sounds repetitive, but I'll do it again as much as I possibly can, because I think the greatest insult is to see this thing unfold, not the deal itself per se, but how they treat us as taxpayers. Most arrogant behavior I've seen in government, and that's to say that about Abercrombie, because it's still ultimately, as I had read earlier, the issuance, and this is the guy is giving caution, saying they're only going to cover this as wiki. The issuance, sale, and delivery of the bonds are subject to approval by the HHFDC board and the Department of Budget and Finance and the governor. So, it's not a done deal. So, for them to go and get a building permit and declare on that permit application that they're the owner of the building, I may be just barking up the wrong tree, but I think that's improper.
Absolutely.
I don't know. But at least it confuses the public record. So, go ahead real quick. Take a minute.
Carol, I believe you're right, what you just said. And it's a big question. If I may sum it up in terms of all this is basically the city's responsibility on accountability. Okay? And this is the main job for the city administration and also for the city council. City administration and the city council are supposed to check and balance each other. And it's not being done right now. Okay? One thing I know I mentioned before is the procurement laws. Okay, there's no accountability of the procurement law at this time. The state and the city procurement laws. And the process should be reviewed in regards to this problem. Now, we all discussed in terms of earlier about the buyer. The question is whether the buyer is solvent. And according to our procurement laws, if a person, a contractee is not solvent, basically we're not supposed to contract with a person.
Right.
Or the company.
Certificate of good standing and all of the how long it's been operating, all of those have to be demonstrated in any city contract.
And we are not in the business, meaning government, to make loans.
And that packet should be made available to us.
Now, we can on the basis of CBG, but this is not CBG. And then lastly, there's a communication problem here. And the communication is one whereby government is not properly communicating with the residents. I give you an example. When I was involved in Kukui Gardens, I organized the residents to keep affordable housing, and we chose an organization called Kukui Garden Resident Association. And FACE worked with us. Okay, FACE did not act on their own, what they're doing right now. And by the way, Bob, if you're listening, you're wrong about Mufi Hannon, former mayor, that got rid of the Department of Housing. It was Jeremy Harris as mayor. But Mufi and Don Mukado Kim were council members who agreed to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. Real quick.
Real quick, I just want to say that city buyers, please stop what you're doing. Let's do the math. Let's look at this. Let's reinvestigate, or let's find another buyer, because this is obviously a mess. And it's confusing, too many unanswered questions. Please think about the long-term effects on the residents and the taxpayers of the city and county of Honolulu. Thank you.
Okay, hey, thank you. I'm going to see, and I appreciate you guys coming in. Marsha, real quick, you got a minute. Can you tell us about the parade coming up?
Okay. Thank you so much. It's been a great morning. Friday, we have the concert at the Palace, and of course we always pay homage to our host culture. That's free, and it's at noon on the grounds of the Iolani Palace. And on Sunday, we have the annual bell ringing ceremony at the Nagasaki Peace Bell, and that's at 5:30. And all of the bells across the country are to be rung on the Martin Luther King holiday to remind us of freedom is not free, and they are called to action. Then Monday is the parade. It starts at Magic Island, and it's not too late to send in your application or call or whatever. And the parade starts at 9. If you're going to be in the parade, you need to be at Magic Island by 7. And after that is the Unity Rally all afternoon at Kapi'olani Park.
Okay, and we'll have Mr. Rushing in studios here to interview him, from a state representative from Massachusetts?
Yes, he is. He and his wife are the Grand Marshals.
Frida. Okay. Well, thank you, and we will see you next week.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Take care, Marshall.
Anyway, real quick before, regarding the Charles Canemar, we went over and found, took some pictures of his prosthesis. This is the gentleman that we interviewed a while back, a couple weeks back, regarding not being able to get his prosthesis. We found that they were manufactured, he was being fitted, but the VA just dumped him with no explanation. The people that did the fitting and all say that he's a good candidate, no problem. But somehow the VA, and we're going to be looking into that, and I think once you hear the full story, it'll bring tears to your eyes. And this man just want to be able to stand up and be able to go to the bathroom as an individual. So anyway, shame on you, VA. Once again, you stoop as low as you can. So we'll see you next week, and take care. Aloha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI.